Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis 44, we'll read the entire chapter as we'd like to do, and just pull out some thoughts. And he, Joseph, commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sack with food, as much as they can carry. Put every man's money in his sack's mouth. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoke. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto the steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servant it be found, both let him die. We also will be my Lord's bondmen." He said, "Now also let it be according unto your word. He whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack, and searched, began at the eldest and left to the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto the Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and his also, with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? We said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servant, Bring him down unto me, that I may see mine eyes upon him. We said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. And thou sayest unto thy servants, Except ye your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then we will go, if our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall me, or him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hair of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Father, I do pray that you'll help us tonight. Give us wisdom, guidance, and direction in this passage of Scripture. There are certain truths that we need to pull out that you would have us see. It's a story that is quite interesting, quite intriguing, but I know that you have better purpose than just for a story. So I pray that you will be able to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. If there's a soul that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three things that I want us to see tonight in this passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 44 is interesting. Joseph's brothers come back with Benjamin. Joseph treats them like royalty. Joseph gives them plenty to eat. He puts all their money back into their satchels. But he tells his servant to put his silver cup into the satchel of the young boy. So while the men are eating and dining with Joseph, the servant sneaks out of the evening and he sneaks that silver cup into Benjamin's satchel. They wake up and they send them off early. So evidently they had a good night's rest, all at the expense of Joseph. While they're not very far away, Joseph then looks at his servant and says, "Now, go chase them and go tell them that one of them has stolen my silver cup. How dare they?" So the servant, I don't know if it was the same servant, because servants didn't ask a lot of questions, but can you imagine the thought process that was going on in this guy's mind? Man, he's crazy. So this servant runs and chases down these men. And these men boldly proclaim that there is no silver cup. Not one of them had stolen the silver cup. When would they have had opportunity to do so, first of all? And second of all, they are not that kind of person. And so they did not do that. And they spoke boldly and with great confidence. And as in dramatic scene, they started with the oldest, all the way down to the 11th child. And finally, after every satchel had been searched, except for Benjamin's, Benjamin's satchel was searched, and there lie the silver cup. And then the Bible says they rent their clothes. All 11 of them grieve. This was their opportunity. The 10 men, minus probably Judah, who stuck his neck out on the line, at least 9 of the men could have just gone back and says, "You know what? Sorry, Benjamin. We'll see you the next time." But they didn't. Every one of them, to a man, got off their donkey and went back to Joseph. Their necks on the line. It is interesting how much time had changed them. We are to the point where the next chapter, the great revelation, is revealed. But these guys have no clue. There are three things that I want to point out tonight. Number one, I want you to see the intention. Joseph has intention. His intention here is, first of all, I believe, I want you to see his intention of love. Joseph treats them well. He intends on treating them well. Even though they treated him so badly, he treats them so well. They probably have no idea why they're being treated well. They may be even a little curious. They might even be a little concerned, and yet they're enjoying the benefits of Joseph's generosity. Not exactly sure where they slept that night, but I'm sure that Joseph made wonderful arrangements for them, and they might have stayed in the nicest place they've ever stayed in before. They now have enjoyed the hospitality that Joseph provided, the table that Joseph provided, and the place of rest that Joseph provided. What love Joseph has. The man, or the men, that caused him great sorrow and grief 20 years ago. The men that put him lower than anyone possibly could have been put lower shows great love to the ones who wronged him. By the way, another picture of Jesus Christ. How Jesus, who was mistreated so badly by mankind, loves us so greatly. how we crucified Christ because of our sins, how we treated Him so badly, and how He has provided great rest, great privilege, great feast in our lives. Another picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves us even though we have done Him wrong. He still provides for us. He still sees that we are fed and taken care of. He still sees that we get rest. He still sees that we're washed over. What great love Joseph shows his brethren. And it was love that was intended. It was a love that was planned. This wasn't an accidental love. It wasn't that, hey, I recognize those boys. I'll show them some great kindness. All of this was done with a plan and a purpose. Joseph had great intent. And his intention was love. He also had another intention, to load them down with supplies. Joseph loads them down with great possessions. As much as their animals could carry, Joseph gives them food. All of their money was given back. Joseph loaded them down with treasure. These boys thought, wow, we finally made it. Our ship has arrived. All of the bad stuff that has happened to us since we got rid of Joseph years ago, finally God has shown favor on us. He has evidently forgiven us. Look at the great things that are happening in our lives. We come here fearful. He puts us at ease. He gives us a great feast. He gives us Simeon back. He ends up giving us a wonderful place to stay. And when we come back to our donkeys, it's loaded. They can hardly even walk. Man, the provision that this guy has given us. And I want you to see that Joseph loads them down intently. We're finally able to look at our dad with purpose and fulfillment. We haven't been able to look at our dad in 20 years with purpose and fulfillment. But now we'll be able to act like we actually accomplished something for our dad. I mean, they're probably on cloud 9. And I want us to be reminded that the load was intentional too. However, there was an extra load to carry for Benjamin, unbeknownst to any of them. That was the silver cup. Joseph placed this cup knowing that he could bring his brethren back to him. If not for the cup, Joseph may have never seen his brothers again. But Joseph sees to it that the cup is placed. And so I want you to see that there's an intention of a lesson here. His intention was to love, to load them down, and I want you to see the lessons. There's some lessons still needing to be taught. Joseph allows them to leave, knowing that he placed this cup into Benjamin's satchel. Now that they're away, he has his servant intercept them. This no doubt brought fear and concern to the heart of the brethren, and the lesson was to help these men be humbled. To explain this more, we're going to look at number 2, the indictment. We have the intention, and now we have the indictment. Joseph accuses Benjamin of stealing the cup. All are innocent. These men are so confident that they boldly proclaim that if anyone has the cup, then they should die, and the rest of the brethren will be slaves forever. And the servant wisely says, no, but only the person that has the cup will be our servant forever. Because, to be fair, the servant knew that there was a cup. These men, he knew, had no clue. I guess we need to make sure we're not making promises we can't keep. Here they're making promises. They're so. Have you ever been so certain and then so wrong? That's what happens here. These guys are adamant. They are. Have you ever? I mean, you know that that's what was said, and then you go and Google it, and you're wrong. You have to eat your hat. This was done to teach a lesson. This was done to bring them back to Joseph. The cup is found, and we see that the lesson is working. For now, we see these men finally humbled. There's been great teaching over the last few months that Joseph was trying to teach his brethren. And finally, it paid off. You know, I was told a long time ago that God could never use you until he breaks you. I've been broken more than once. Then I had my wise father always remind me when I'd call him up and I would be distraught and broken. Nathan, God can never use you unless he breaks you. Broken when I left Streetsboro, Ohio, thought I was done in the ministry. Broken when my twins died. Broken when Chad Carter died. Broken when my dad died. I've been broken. Have you been broken? There's probably a lot more breaking in between. But until you humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, he cannot lift you up. But when you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, the Bible says he will lift you up. Did you know that humbling is only something you can do? It's an action that you have to do. The Bible doesn't say, when I humble you. The Bible says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. These men did not have to humble themselves. But if they had not have humbled themselves, they would have humiliated themselves. And God is not in the business of humiliating, but he is in the business of making sure we're humble. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will sustain thee. He will lift you up. These men get off that donkey and they rent their clothes, a sign of humility. I don't know that we find any other place where they rent their clothes. The last time that I remember them renting a cloth, was Joseph's coat of many colors. They rent that one to pieces, and now they're renting their own clothes. And now they're humbly walking back to Joseph, all of them, a band of brothers, willing to die for one another. Unlike 20 years ago, when they all were against just one, now they're all for one. There's been a change. There's been lessons taught. There's been lessons that had to be learned. And Joseph has been teaching them lessons, and God has been using Joseph to teach these men lessons, and the lessons are being learned. I believe that Judah humbled himself a while back. That's why Judah could go to his dad and say, Dad, I'll be surety for Benjamin. I'll make sure he comes home. It'll be on me and me forever if he doesn't come back. And you'll find that here. But I want you to see that these men are humbled. They don't flee. They don't leave Benjamin. They don't take off and go like they could have. I mean, they were free to go. The servant said, hey, the rest of you, you're free to go. I think of one. Simeon probably thought, you know what? I haven't seen my wife and kids in a while. And if it's all right with you men, I mean, you know, somebody's got to take some food back, right? Can you start seeing the rationale of someone thinking wrongly? Boy, doesn't that happen often. We start thinking wrongly. We start making excuses to do wrong. I can see Simeon saying, you know, I haven't seen mom and dad. I haven't seen my wife and kids for a really long time. Remember, he's been stuck in prison. And he's probably thinking, you know what, maybe I should just, I tell you what, Judah, you made surety for Benjamin. Why don't you go back and take care of this mess, and I'll take my donkey. I'll go home, and I'll make sure our family has some, because they're probably hungry, you know. I mean, all nine of them could have made excuses. And that could have been a rational excuse. And if you sit down and reason the matter, well, if we go back, we might all die. At least we could let our families survive a little longer. But not a one of them, not a one of them tried to leave. They were humbled. Friend, are you humbled? If you're humbled, there might be things that God brings into your life to get you to be humbled, but you have to humble yourself. And these men, they were broken. And if God's going to use you, I'm telling you right now, God's got to break some of you. You're just fine. You don't need anybody's help. God's a great crutch when there's a problem. But I'm telling you, if God wants to use you, He'll have to break you. And then He's the master potter. He'll mold you and make you again. That's the wonderful thing about our Savior. He's the master potter. We're the clay. If there's an imperfection, He can just put it back on that spinning wheel and He can fix us all up. He's the great master. Well, this finally brings me to my last point. I want you to see the intention. I want you to see the indictment. But now I want you to see the intercession. The intercession. Judah made intercession for Benjamin. And one of the most sincere prayers and pleads you'll ever read, we find the much changed Judah interceding on behalf of his younger brother, Benjamin, and on behalf of his once despised father. Even making mention of their deceased brother. I mean, Benjamin is coming to Joseph, and Joseph says, no, the rest of you leave, I'll keep Benjamin. And Judah, it kind of makes it look like that Judah got close to Joseph and said, can I talk to you in private, kind of. I got to tell you something. Before you throw us out, can I tell you something? My father, the old man that you asked about, my father had two sons by his one wife, and the one is dead. And Joseph's sitting there thinking, no, I ain't. But they didn't know it. And now they're talking about Joseph's death. Well, here's some good points going to be brought out here in just a second. They're now talking about Joseph's death. Then they go on and talk about Benjamin and talk about the father and how the dad almost died when Joseph died, how it hurt the father when Joseph died, how it almost destroyed their father when Joseph died, how the father was grieved because of the death of Joseph, how the father was grieved because of the death of Christ. And so now Judah is making intercession for Benjamin. And he starts bringing up the death of Joseph. Hey, do you know that there's an important place here for us to understand something about prayer? When you and I go to Christ, and when we go to God, you know it's probably a good idea to bring up the death of Christ. It's probably a good idea to thank Him for His sacrifice on Calvary and how much it displeased the Lord. But yet, the Father forgave us of our sins. This is something that the Father did not want. This is something that Jesus didn't want to have to go through, the separation of Father and Son at Calvary. I want you to hear what John Phillips said about this. What a lesson concerning intercession is embodied here. If we would be intercessors, let us tell our Lord about His sufferings and what those sufferings meant to the Father. Let us talk to Him about Calvary. Let us tell Him how Calvary broke the heart of God. Let us tell Him that Calvary can never be allowed to happen again. Once for that kind of sorrow is enough for all eternity. And here you have Judah making intercession on Benjamin's behalf. And the first thing that he does is he reminds Joseph that Joseph is dead, and it displeased the father. Benjamin goes on and talks about how if he doesn't bring Benjamin back, it's going to again break the heart of his dad, and that his dad would die, and that he would bring his father down to death in sorrow. Judah made intercession to Joseph on behalf of Benjamin and his father is how we should make intercession to God, reminding Jesus of His suffering for us and how much it meant to the Heavenly Father. That, my friend, cannot be denied by the Holy One. So tonight, may we see the blessings of the Lord. those are intentional. How he takes care of us even when we have done him so wrong. May we give him honor and glory. We also see the need to be humbled. If you think you've arrived, or you think that you are the reason that everything is going well, may I remind you that that is not a good place to be. Please humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. We also need to be reminded of the way Judah interceded for his brother and father. We need to go to God and tell Him how much He has done for us and how much it pleases the Father. It makes a difference. Joseph's heart couldn't handle it anymore. It was the passing of the exam. They had been changed. They now could have sweet fellowship. And we'll see that in chapter 45. But until you and I realize who we are, until you and I realize who He is, there's really not much fellowship that can take place. God does not listen to the proud, but He giveth grace to the lowly. He resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the lowly. You want to have fellowship? You're going to have to get like these 9 other brothers. You're going to have to humble yourself if you want to have true fellowship with God. If you're going through a valley, if you're being humbled, remember, God can't use you until He breaks you. But isn't it good, even through it all, His intention is to treat you well. Joseph treated these boys well. He loved them. Jesus loves you. He gave to them. Jesus gives to you. He teaches them. Jesus teaches us. Let us be humble before the Almighty God so that we could do something for Him. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you know it takes a little bit of humility, humbling of yourselves to say, you know what? I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. Please forgive me. Too many people want to do it their own way. Too many people are proud and they think that they can do it under their own strength. And that is why many people will die and go to hell, because you and I can do nothing about salvation unless we accept the free gift of Christ. We can't earn it, we can't work for it, and we'll never deserve it. But it's there. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, He wants to save you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook, facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.